Grace to you and peace from the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come, even Jesus Christ, our righteousness. Amen. Christ Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, as Advent Christians, we find ourselves in the midst of the second week of Advent, seated on the banks of the Jordan River with that piercing cry of the baptizer ringing in our ears. And as that cry rings in our ears, we hear words that we have heard many times before. For as Advent Christians, this isn't our first trip to Jordan's bank. We've been to those muddy waters, and we've heard that cry from John's lips echoing over successive Advents, church year in and church year out. We know the words well. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And because we know those words so well, just as quickly as they ring in our ears, they are gone. And we look forward to another couple weeks of Advent and to what we think we really want to get to, Christmas itself. And though the words may ring in our ears for a moment and then disappear from our thoughts, one must ask, have we only heard them but failed to listen to what they have to say? The voice that is crying has been crying for a very long time. In fact, the voice crying from John has cried out so loud that even the prophet Isaiah, centuries before John opened his mouth, heard the words that he would proclaim. Matthew in our text points back to Isaiah 40, and Isaiah is prophesying of the one who would come to prepare the way, the one who would be crying and point to the glory of the Lord. So indeed, the cry is not new, but is an old and an ancient cry. And as John's voice pierced the wilderness of the Jordan with that ancient Advent cry, John stood where we now stand. He stood there crying, and he stood there pointing. And as he stood crying and pointing, he was directing those who heard him and followed the direction of his point to the Christ, the one who had come, the one who had brought the kingdom of heaven near. For John stood pointing to the one who was to come and to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The one who would come and clear out the threshing floor. John stood crying and pointing that those to whom he cried and pointed might behold the one. The one Jesus Christ whose arrival John had prepared. For those to whom John cried, those to whom John pointed were a people dead on the arrival of the one to whom he pointed. Their hearts were filled, but they were not filled with the joy of the coming Christ. Rather, their hearts were filled with sin and a decided lack of true faith. In fact, their hearts were filled with nothing but the sinfulness that mired them down in the mud of their unfaithfulness. So John's call to them from the banks of the Jordan was not just a mere call to make a few minor adjustments so that everything would somehow be okay. Indeed, it was a call for them to completely be reformed. It was a call to them to be completely changed from who they were and to be renewed by the one who is coming. It was a call not just merely to confess sins of the past, but to turn away from sins of the crookedness of the future and to be made straight by Jesus Christ, who had brought the kingdom of heaven near to them. No, it wasn't slight modification that John was drawing their attention to. It was a call to be changed from being not God's people to being converted to being his people once again. And the voice that cries is not new to us either. And its message is not new for us, but it is a message that if our ears not only hear, but listen, we find strikes deep and pierces into the depths of our own sinful hearts and addresses our own sinful condition. For all too often, like that Pharisaic brood of vipers, our ears hear the cry of the baptizer, but they don't truly listen. Oh, they hear the cry of the baptizer, and they think they listen, and they have a response, but it is not a response that comes from truly listening. For as our ears hear that call and cry to repentance, perhaps they hear and our hearts respond with an assertion that that cry is directed at sinners, not at us. Or perhaps our ears hear and our hearts respond with an assertion that we've already heard, we've already listened, we've already been changed, and so we no longer need worry about the sin in the world around us. Perhaps our ears hear and our hearts respond that we are those who are the called servants of Christ in his church, or those who soon will be, and therefore we are the ones who are doing the crying and the pointing, and we don't need to hear and listen to the message. Perhaps our ears hear and our hearts respond, Christ has already come. Christ has already baptized us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He has already cleared his threshing floor, and we are already stored up in the granary. And so the message is simply no longer for us. In any case, our ears may have heard, but all too often they have not listened to the crying voice. For that crying voice also speaks of an axe. It speaks of an axe being laid at the root of the tree, and that tree is the tree of our unfaithfulness, to be cut down and thrown on the top of the heap of fire with all of the other sinful trees, there to be ablaze with the fires of hell. Our trees need to be cut down by that law, by that very law that crying voice cries out to us, so that having been cut down, we can be built back up once again and restored in the one whom John was pointing to, restored in Christ. For it is into the very midst of that unquenchable fire on the heap of burning trees that Christ came in his first advent, descending from the radiance of his heavenly throne in order that he might purify our hearts. He came and was burned by those same unquenchable fires as he endured the pain and shame and suffering of the cross of Calvary and destroyed sin, death, and the power of the devil by his glorious resurrection. He came in order that he might in turn then send his Holy Spirit to enter into our hearts and with the purifying and cleansing fire of his holy word clean them out and prepare a place for Christ to dwell therein. The crying voice has pierced our dark hearts, and it has not only called us to repentance, but it has dwelt among us and made us to be the people of God, the Advent Christians that we are in these days, those who rejoice in the coming of the Lord and prepare to celebrate, and those who look forward to an even greater coming when he will take us to be with him. Yes, indeed, that crying voice has echoed down through the centuries, and it has changed a bit as it has echoed. For it is not just John's voice that echoes from the banks of the Jordan in our ears this morning, but it is the crying voice of Christ, the voice that cried out far louder than John ever could from the cross, piercing the darkness with the words, "It is finished." The voice that cried out far louder than John ever could, "I have called you by name, you are mine." The voice that cried out far louder than John ever could, "I am going to prepare a place for you, and I will come and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am." The voice that whispers far louder than John ever could, "Come to me, you who are weary, and I will give you rest." The voice that promises far louder than John ever could, "I am with you always to the end of the age." It is a voice that we have heard very frequently, a voice that as Advent Christians we hear with joy, a voice that as Advent Christians we eagerly anticipate hearing once again on that great day when our Lord will return to clear his threshing floor and gather us into his eternal reign. In the meantime, until we hear that voice again, the cry does continue. A cry calling to conversion. The cry of Isaiah, the cry of John, and the cry of Jesus. The cry preparing not for the first advent, but for the second. And yet it echoes, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near," even echoing boldly from our own lips. And as that cry echoes from our lips, we rejoice and with all Christian Advent boldness pray earnestly, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen."